Welcome back to Arts About, everybody.
Show about art that's a work of art in itself. I'm saying it quickly.
You are saying it quickly.
Why need to vary it every week.
I know it's hard to do the same thing very differently, isn't it? I'm Sally Bailey, and you're listening to Arts About, brought to you by the generosity of the McClellan Gallery and Sculpture Park and facilitated by the Bendigo Bank Studio. Good morning, John Baird.
Morning, Sally.
Have you had a good week?
Hard to tell.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a little bit,
isn't it? The space-time continuum issue?
I'm not sure that we should be mentioning that on radio.
No, I don't want to freak anyone out.
No, we don't. Well, look, a couple of weeks ago, John and I visited Creatures of a Wire World that's still on at Stillwater at Crittenden's by the mysterious Tom Rippon. And it is brought to us by a collaboration between Mish Eisen of Promerging Art and Stillwater at Crittenden. And it was quite a revelation on quite a few levels. Not only is Stillwater a beautiful location to go to and have lunch, but the exhibition is wonderful. And John and I got to wander around the beautiful lawns there by the lake with a glass of bubbles and munch duck parfait canapes and check out a bit of fluoro wildlife and also to meet the artist himself. And of course, we have him. We've recorded an interview with him that we did with Mish and Tom, and we're going to play that for you a little while later. We also have our next guest, who's actually in the chair at the moment, but we won't talk to him for just a second. We've got the new director of the McClellan Gallery and Sculpture Park himself, John Cunningham, and he's going to come in and tell us a little bit about the three new exhibitions that opened up there a couple of weeks ago. Cliff will be coming in.
Yep.
It's going to be a great morning. So while we get ourselves sorted, here's a little one of my favourite
tracks.
Oh, yes.
You didn't ask me what I'm going to talk about.
I didn't either. What's John on this week?
I'm going to tell a story that my father told me about a loose railway carriage in northern Victoria with teenagers aboard.
Oh, were you one of those teenagers?
No, he was.
Oh, fantastic. All right, well, I'll look forward to that. Apologies for not asking. Let's listen to a little bit of Earl Scrugg and Lester Flatt with Foggy Mountain Special while we get ourselves organised. Now, it's just been pointed out to me that I have been committing a terrible faux pas because I have been calling the McClelland Sculpture Park and Gallery the wrong way round. And it's just been pointed out to me by our next guest, who we're very excited to have in here this morning, John Cunningham, the new director of the McClelland Sculpture Park and Gallery. He's been on the show with us once before to talk about what he's doing down there. He's now got three exhibitions that have just opened up a couple of weeks ago, and he's going to tell us all about them. Good morning, John Cunningham. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I sound very pedantic, don't I?
No, well, it's pretty terrible for me to have been getting it round the wrong way for the last, I'm not exactly sure how long, particularly when you pointed out that it's changed last year or perhaps even
several years ago, I believe.
Morning, John.
Good morning, John.
And while we're talking about being pedantic, Sally.
Yes.
I don't think you cleared that up clearly enough.
Didn't
frankly.
I?
No.
Okay, go on then.
Now, just tell them what the place is called.
The McClelland Sculpture Park and Gallery. Didn't I say that?
Yeah, but you said instead of the other way around.
I didn't want to say it again the other way around.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yes. Good morning, John. It's great for you to come in and talk to us again. Am I allowed to still call you the new director?
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, probably just director.
Just John.
John, really. You know, John, director. New director, John. Two Johns, so the new John.
The new John. Okay, then that's fantastic. You have just opened on the weekend three new exhibitions.
Yeah, that's correct.
Uncommon Australians.
Yeah.
Tim Silver. Talking to the Shadows, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And the 2015 Mary and Lou Cennini Student Art Awards. That's three fabulous new exhibitions. Tell us about the first one. Who are Uncommon Australians?
Well, Uncommon Australians it's called The Vision of Gordon and Marlene Dowling, and it's a National Portrait Gallery touring exhibition. And if anybody in the arts knows the Dowlings, everybody does, they have supported. I don't think there's an art organisation or an artist in the country that doesn't know them, their support, their creativity, mm-hmm. their reassurance, their confidence. And unfortunately, we lost Gordon a couple of weeks ago. And they are both Uncommon Australians. And when they got together in 1981 and made a commitment to each other for life, they also committed to setting up the National Portrait Gallery in Canberra.
Ah, yes.
And supported that. And we've gathered 36 images. Of great Australians, ranging from astronauts to sports people, to scientists, to politicians. It's really quite amazing. It's a wonderful insight into the Australian condition, if I could actually call it that.
We had the, I think must have been the first director of the National Portrait Gallery, Andrew Sayers, who we also lost in this last year.
That's correct.
On the program, he was talking about his paintings that he exhibited in the Archibald and the Moran Prize. So they must have worked together, I suspect, in the initial founding of the National Portrait Gallery.
Oh, I would think so, most definitely. And it's a wonderful gallery, and if you ever get a chance when you're in Canberra, it's one of the smaller institutions, but it's one of the newest ones. But
powerful.
It's a wonderful way to... I mean, all art is a mirror, and when you're looking at another face, we see lots of insights into Australians.
Yeah, we do.
It's a very large collection, John, the National Portrait Collection, and you've got a sample of this in your gallery. So how many paintings?
We've got 36.
Right. And so is that curated?
Yes.
Well, obviously.
It's curated by Angus Trumbull, who's the director, along with Marilyn Darling, and she was very particular that she wanted to come to McLennan because of our relationship, and she had a very close relationship with Dame Elizabeth, of course.
Yeah.
And there's a wonderful tapestry of Dame Elizabeth by the Victorian Tapestry Workshop in there, which is kind of one of the highlights. Well, we would say that anyway. We're slightly biased, but it's certainly one of the highlights.
Mm.
But the original concept of a National Portrait Gallery, I believe, was muted by Tom Roberts first when he did the great painting in Canberra of all, you know, the signing of Federation.
Mm-hmm. Well, very pertinent at the moment, of course, because the exhibition on at the NGV.
Yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just Tom didn't want to paint 300 dignitaries, so I think he wanted to
squeeze them all into the one picture.
I think he wanted to share around with his colleagues. You can take that word. So, yeah, it's a long time in coming, but we're delighted to have it in McLennan, and it will be remarkably popular.
Is the Nick Cave Howard Arkley in there?
It is indeed.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I believe, and it's a bit of a stroke of genius getting sort of two great Melbourne poets together. And of course, I think it was Arkley's only portrait, and he was dead not long after.
Mm.
So, that's a bit of a stunner, I have to say.
Mm. Now, it's only one of three that has opened up just recently. The next exhibition that I'd like to ask you about is the Tim Silver exhibition. He's a very interesting artist.
Oh, he's a superstar. He really is a superstar. Talking to the shadows, and the wonderful thing about Tim, and he's a very modest, deeply likable man, is that he makes works out of bubblegum and clay, and he casts them, and they begin to die and crumble the minute he creates them. You know, it's like, you know, death has owned life all along.
Yes, he's interested in entropy, isn't he?
Most definitely.
Yes.
And ephemera.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
In time
does
passing.
He blow things up?
He blows, yes. There's actually a wonderful video of him, a cast of his own body, and that being blown up. And you see it being blown up over and over and over and over again. So it's this idea of temporality, of life and death. And it's a wonderful kind of rumination on our condition.
Mm-hmm.
And in this exhibition, Talking to the Shadows, it's very deeply personal. It's about his mother's home, the property in southeast Tasmania that was affected by the Donnelly bushfires of 2012 and 2013, which 100 houses were
horrific.
Destroyed and last for 6 months. So he's cast the trees from that property into bronze and into metal as a kind of bringing to attention the idea that, these are catastrophic events, but nature will find a way to, you know, rebirth. We get rebirth and renewal. So it's deeply playful, and it's really poignant.
So they're post-inferno tree trunks,
yes.
And they've gone through another inferno in the casting process.
Yes, which is at the same temperature, which they burned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is quite interesting.
And remind me, oddly, of... I've seen some images of them, and they remind me, oddly, of those Richard Serra lead throwings into the corner of a room, you know, but...
That's a great way of looking at it, John. Yeah, certainly they are tree stumps on the ground in a very darkened room, spotlit, and then there are these casts almost thrown onto the walls, but they are actually kind of the nubs, the stumps of trees that have been wounded and have kind of healed themselves. So, yeah, they do actually remind us of a very good observation.
So this exhibition is a combination of these pieces, but it's a video installation as well, isn't it?
Yes, the video is him literally
exploding.
Blowing up.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that. Has he been? Was he at the opening?
Oh yes, and he gave a talk yesterday at the opening. So yeah, he had.
Is he a Tasmanian?
Originally from Tasmania, and he lives in Sydney.
Yeah. Okay. And quite a young man.
He is a young man, but he really will go into the international
scene. Yes, you called him a superstar.
Yeah, I think there's something very special about him. He's off to Basel and Hong Kong and Miami, so and he's got an exhibition coming up in Sydney at the end of next year. Mm-hmm. So keep a lookout for him.
Yes, all right.
And Ursi, stop in the street, he's a gentleman as well.
Yeah, it's a very memorable and fantastic name for a superstar. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the second of the three exhibitions. The third one is the 2015 Mary and Lou Cennini Student Art Award. Now, who are they?
Yeah, the Cennini family have gone into partnership with McLaren many years ago to try to look at recent graduates or soon-to-be graduates and to try to give them support, to give them a leg up in the industry. If you look at the terrible stats coming out of our colleges, that less than 3% of graduates ever go on to actually make work. You know, some of them fall into teaching, some of them leave it and never return to it. So for somebody like the Cenninis to come along and to sponsor an award, and for McLennan to be there, and it moves every year to different disciplines. So this year it's ceramics. Of course, Australia's got one of the great international reputations in ceramics. Mm-hmm. It's painting and sculpture on other years, and we have certainly set some people up in their careers, and it's a really lovely thing to have something like Uncommon Australians looking at people who have made an extraordinary contribution to the nation, to look at somebody like Tim Silver on the rise as an Australian into the international scene, and then to see people at their very, very start of their career.
Yes, how
exciting. It's a nice conversation to have between three of them.
And how absolutely wonderful for the winner. It's a $3,000 prize, isn't it?
Yes.
And who was the winner this year?
It was Neve Minogue from RMIT, mm-hmm. and she wasn't there.
She
showed up late. and she said the wonderful comment, I arrived late because I didn't expect to win.
Yes.
So I was reluctant to give her the check. No, but I have to.
That's sensational. And how spectacular it must be for her to be alongside those two other collections.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Talking to the students represented, they don't get a chance to be in a substantial arts organisation so early in their career, to be selected, shortlisted for the award, and to be amongst, you know...
Well, it's great for them. It's also great for us because there's a lot of information in proto-artists, if I can call them that, or people who are launching themselves into that particular way of thinking. And it's to do with it being the very beginning of that process for them. And I always find it absolutely fascinating to look at what people are starting out with, the kind of luggage that they have with them when they set out on that particular thinking career.
Most definitely, John. And it's great to talk to them. They have such boundless enthusiasm that the world somehow hasn't sort of, you know, they don't, the joy of paying bills hasn't first announced itself to them.
And the realisation of the rather shocking fact that the figure that you gave us a little earlier is less than 3% of graduating artists actually go on to function as professional artists in the world. That's just really, that's really ruined my day to hear that.
Yes.
Well, we may as well start slashing funding, Sally, and getting rid of art schools. It's clearly not working.
Oh, my goodness me, yes. It seems to be the most appalling trend, doesn't it? So it is pretty staggeringly difficult for young artists to come out and find their way. Certainly a prize like this is a wonderful boost, but what does that go on to do for a young artist like Neve? Does she now, presumably she has a lot more people seeing her work?
More people seeing her work. It's a calling card. Mm. She's in the award, which is number one. She won the award, it's number two. And that really gives her the confidence to other galleries, collectors, commissioners to say, that she's now is beginning to be, she's recognised and she's on that journey.
And being part of the exhibition, as you mentioned, is also very important. It's in fact, probably more important than winning it. They can only, you can only have one winner in a situation like that. But everyone who's in the show is going to get the benefits of being in that situation, and that they deserve it.
I agree, John. Mm.
Tell me, how long are all of the exhibitions, are they're running concurrently, are they on until a particular date?
Yeah, the 23rd of February.
Right. So the three exhibitions are there available for everybody to have a look at over summer. And this is a great time of year for people to actually get out, take their children out to come and have and expose them to a little bit of art. Thank you very much for talking to us today about them. We will put links for that, for those exhibitions, up on our website page, our Facebook page. It's a great pleasure, as always, to talk to you. John Cunningham, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sally. Thank you, John. Anytime.
Thanks, John.
It's my pleasure.
Speaking of sculpture, I'm going to play an interview next that John and I did with Tom Rippon and a friend of the show, Miss Eisen, while we were at Stillwater at Crittenden's the other day.
It was a lovely afternoon.
It was a beautiful
morning
afternoon.
Morning and afternoon.
Yep, and we'd stuffed a few canapes into our gobs on the lawn. It was Creatures of a Wire World, and here it is. Today to be sitting at the table above the exhibition that has just opened this morning of Tom Rippon's wonderful Creatures of a Wire World, and sitting at the table with John and I this morning after our fabulous duck parfait nibbles a little earlier as we wandered around, I have Tom Rippon himself, who is a bit of a mystery man, and I also have our friend of the show, Mish Eisen, joining us. So it's thank you so much for talking to us on Arts About. Thank you for the wonderful invitation and for the wonderful exhibition, Tom Rippon.
Welcome.
Tom, you are a bit of a mystery man. I've been hunting around trying to find out a little bit about you of late, and all I can find on the internet are sites saying, who is Tom Rippon? And mentioning the fact that they love your work and they've seen it in various bits places, but they don't know who you are or how to find it.
Yeah.
Are you frightened?
Totally, totally. Frightened of the world. Now, I get yelled at on the internet to get a website.
Yes.
I think I'm just lazy.
I'm
not great with technology, not great with setting up websites myself, probably not good at dealing with people, to me, I want to make stuff, that's what I do, I want to make stuff.
I think you're right, Tom. Actually, I find myself websites kind of interfering. There's a lot of noise that goes on, with a lot of white noise that goes on, a lot of information you don't want comes in. And
you have to manage them.
Frankly, you're better off without it.
You actually have to manage them. You have to be consistently managing.
Although it is handy once people to pay enough attention for other people to run websites and have stuff of yours going in there on your behalf. Are you Googleable apart from Tom Rippon?
I am. I must admit, I do Google myself, and it's quite hilarious because the stuff that comes up. Yes, it is. Yeah. Quite easy to find if it's Rippon with a single P, generally you can link that back to me. Facebook.
Well done on the show, by the way, on the work
Thank
that's
you.
Here. I'm sort of interested in. It's odd to talk about whether or not you're on the internet, and then look at this work, which has a kind of a computer angle.
Mm.
There's the we're all familiar with those 3D imaging. Stuff that you get on computers, and this work definitely has a relationship to it. I suppose visually, if nothing else. But I think it's interesting to steal something back from computers that they've stolen from us originally.
Absolutely. So, I've basically, some of my pieces look like they belong in a computer. And I think that was one of the first concepts of all the wire form. When you see a design in wire form on a computer screen, I can actually translate that to a 3D image, a 3D piece. And it's nice.
Is the design on a computer?
No, not at all.
And that's interesting response, isn't it?
Yeah. It's totally backwards. Yeah. I get my images generally, if someone comes to me and says, can you make me an elephant, I'll say, okay, Google images, elephants, find your best picture, send me a couple, and we'll take it from there. So I always work from, if I can get a live study, that's great. Not everyone has an elephant in their backyard,
or a bear
or a giraffe, or any
in
sort of exotics. But and it always is great to get a live thing. So when I did elephants for the Melbourne Zoo, they let me into the cage, have a feel of them, pat them, stand next to them, feel just how big and powerful they are. Originally, the proposal for the zoo was to make them as big as a real-life elephant so that you could tour them to schools and things so kids would actually get at least a handle on how big they are. And, you know, it's a challenge making the wire like that. You have to... There's a lot of structure involved in getting... It's a fairly flimsy wire material that I use. So basically, you've actually got a... the challenge is to get it to even stand up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, under its
they're
own weight.
They're quite interesting in an engineering sense, amongst other things, because there are all sorts of inner bodies going on. And notice the large elephant has a birth canal helping her stand up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fascinating thing, because you're actually working with a rigid component, but you create a really sculptural form too. Yeah. So, you know, the wire, it's a grid mesh.
They're quite firm to touch, though. I must admit I touched a couple.
I actually think that that's one of my biggest experiences. People don't understand the material, so they have to feel it. They come and they want to scrunch it.
It looks a little like some of that plastic packaging material, but it's a lot more rigid than that.
So it's a material. Look, people haven't seen this before.
Yeah.
I don't. There's a few people doing wire work like this in Australia, I think, but not presenting it like this and not colouring it like this.
No.
You should see it under UV light.
Oh,
the fluoros under UV light, that was where it was born. That's where it looks like a computer graphic. You get something gently spinning with nothing behind it. And the UV light and fluoro. It looks completely like a computer screen.
And that, you know, that interesting thing, that thing about the draw, what comes first, the drawing or the sculpture, because that immediate response of the public is so you do the digital drawing in this digital age and create the sculpture.
Yeah.
But this is just at the cusp. I mean, you began at the cusp of the digital age.
Mm. Yeah. I remember...
But it's all formed initially and then,
it's a nice kind of looped situation.
Yeah.
They appear to be 3D images of computer images, but in fact they've gone around that.
That's right.
I did a set of
we're not really. Yeah.
I did a set of Grand Prix cars, and all the blokes out there will relate to this because blokes tend to like machinery a little bit more, and they look like they belonged in a computer. You know, you don't often see animal shapes in a computer. You know, but when you're designing something like a Grand Prix car, it's always got to be designed in a computer. So it just looked like a wireframe drawing. And I love doing technology. I love that the technology looks to me really nice when you can do multi-layers, multi-colours, all that sort of thing.
Well, what the computer won't do, of course, is if these were on a computer screen, there'd be no sense of scale. And these have a terrific sense of scale. I like the way you mess around with it a bit. You know, I don't know whether you've measured bears or eagles or, and whether or not they're sort of relate to actual sizes. I like to think that they've been mucked around with a little. It's a very large draft horse. Horses get that big.
It is an extremely large draft horse, but you go to Google Image again, and you will see horses that big.
Really?
Astonishing, but yes, they are that big. So,
as you mentioned in your speech a little bit earlier, you've never actually had an exhibition where they've all come together like this. Has this been a great experience? Well done, Mish, by the way.
pretty scary. Yeah. Just, you know, this is the first time that the public can, although they're not supposed to, they can actually walk up to pieces and touch them.
Mm.
And things that have skinny little legs just made out of wire, all of us have bent wire.
Mm.
And we've bent it too much and it breaks.
Yeah.
So these things, they're not meant for rugged handling.
Yeah.
So they're delicate pieces, although they you can get them big in structure and everything. They're still reasonably delicate. So they're designed for looks, to be placed somewhere. And
with any sculpture, I mean, you know, one touch, someone might think, just one touch, but then if that one touch turns into 1,000 touches, well, the surface will corrode. And,
of course.
You know, anything, really.
Well done, Mish Eisen, Promerging Art. It's a very exciting exhibition, and it's going to be on down here at Crittenden's estate. For how long?
It's on for a couple of months, so over the busy January and for most of February. So
nice to see you wearing the Arts About pin today, Mish.
Well, I always wear it in style, and you know, any public occasion I can flaunt Arts About. And I've had many queries today, in fact, of where did you get that fabulous pin?
Have you really? How exciting, John. That's so good. Thank you so much for coming on Arts About today, Tom Riffin. Thank you for inviting us to your exhibition, Creatures of a Wild World, on at Crittenden's estate until February the 20th.
And now it's time for John On.
Thank you, Stan Roof. That was Stan Roof, wasn't it?
I think it was, yes. Or it's Swanee's favourite person.
At the top of the show, I mentioned a railway carriage and some young lads.
Yes, your dad being one of them.
My father grew up in central Victoria, north central Victoria. And he and his brothers and his mates were out one evening. A warm summer evening with all that sort of eucalypt and crickets and all that sort of stuff. You can imagine it, a summer evening in the Victorian countryside. And they'd been either to a pub or visiting someone. And it was a long walk back to the town that they live in. They couldn't help noticing that there was a train parked out in a railway line out the back of where they'd been. And they went and got on the end carriage, opened both sliding doors, one on either side, and pulled the pin out that locked it to the rest of the train. And this thing started rolling downhill. And
how exciting.
Oh, yeah. Well, they thought they might get a lift into town on a rolling carriage, you know. Apparently, they went through their own town at about 180 kilometres an hour.
Man.
And made it almost to the next town down the line, where the carriage stopped, where it reached its apex, and they made a decision at that point not to get off because they didn't want to have to walk from there. And they thought, well, it'll head back down to where we want to go to. And it went through the town again.
So it rolled, it's got to its point and then just rolled backwards again.
Yeah, it's heading back down towards the town. The second time through the town, I couldn't help noticing that the station master who lived at the station was in fact standing on the platform, and they went through this time at about 80 kilometres an hour. They were slowing down a little. And this kept going on. They kept rolling past the town that they were aiming for and going
slower and slower speeds.
Yeah, and with more and more people on the platform every time they went past. The local policeman was there. Their parents turned up. And the town that they lived in apparently lived at the very bottom of the hill because this thing came to rest at the platform, you know. And there was a bit of sheepish conversation going on.
One
really knew what to say to each other. And they got into a little bit of trouble. But
were they grounded for life?
As one of the great calls, one of the great sort of remarks that people used to make in those days, I think, was that, oh, well, no one was hurt.
I have heard that before. Oh, that is fantastic.
But it made me think about something.
Yeah, what?
You know, that they would have been sheepishly looking at the people on the platform and getting a sheepish thing in return, but they all knew exactly what had happened. And different, of course, to the case of, and I'm going to bring this up again, the Leonardo da Vinci drawing that I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, the forgery or not a forgery. How do you look at a drawing like that?
I don't know.
Well, if you're looking at it and it is, you know that it's made by Leonardo da Vinci, then it's giving off a bit of a da Vinci vibe. You know, you get a bit of a contact high somehow.
Yeah.
It's sort of.
Do you reckon?
I think so. Yeah. I've stood in a paint in front of, like you stand in front of a Titian painting and you're inhabiting the space that he would have inhabited while he made the painting, and there's, you get a bit of something off that.
Yeah.
You know. But if you think it might be a drawing of a checkout chick from 1978, it doesn't give off quite the same amount of power. And I wonder if that's sort of treating the art decently. You know, shouldn't you be able to just look at it and decide whether or not you think it's a good drawing?
Yes, absolutely. I think
not
you
let
should.
The swing tag or otherwise get in the way?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can do it.
I think it's very difficult to do because I think it's almost impossible to shut out all that other information that you know.
Yeah. And like rolling to a stop in a...
like rolling to a stop.
In a railway station. Everyone knows what's been going on. That's why they're there.
What a brilliant scene. I wish I'd been able to see that.
Hmm.
Thanks, John. Well, while we get our fabulous guru, Cliff Ellen, into his chair, we have a little song here, which I thought would be fantastic to play. It's the Shower Block song, and it's from Amateur in South Australia. It's a children's showering song sung by Aboriginal children. It's part of a health strategy program established by the Nangampa Health Council. I think it was 1989. It's just gorgeous. I think we should have a listen to it. Actor, commentator, agitator, friend of the show, elder, and most esteemed Arts About member, Cliff Ellen, has taken his seat at the Coalface. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Sally, and good morning, John.
He's morning. Rolling his eyes. Don't lovely, you like that intro?
Lovely to see you. But why didn't you tell me last week it was Christmas? I forgot to wish all my fans a Merry Christmas, both of them.
I know. Well, we're a bit discombobulated. We've done a couple of things backwards and forwards since the recording lately. So
it's the time like, space continuum.
A bit like my happy birthdays. They're generally about a week after the show. You know, I also forgot to tell you last week that Kate Blanchett won the Longford Lyle Award, which is the number one award apparently, which will sort of take pride of place in a new unit. You know she's bought a new unit?
No, where's her new unit?
Overlooking Sydney Harbour.
Oh, of course.
It's two stories. It's got four bathrooms and she sold her $20 million house and she's downsizing this $8 million. No, it's an apartment. It's not a unit. So her award will take pride of place.
What was the award? The something or other Lyle?
The Longford Lyle Award. It's the number one award.
Yeah. Award for what?
Yeah.
Public contribution to the film industry.
Okay.
It's all about the film industry and television gets awards too, you know, sort of thing. And there's another film I wanted.
Oh, what?
It's not just Gorky Park. Now, this is about 1994.
Yeah.
Have you seen Leon the Professional, John?
No, I haven't.
Well, go
I'll look it up.
He's one of these fellas that kills people for money.
Right.
He's a Frenchman and his name's Jean Reno.
I know the actor, Jean.
Oh, yes, I know him.
He's a terrific actor.
Yes.
And with him is supposedly 12-year-old Natalie Portman,
okay.
Who's just gorgeous. Mm. If she's 12, you know, I'm 40, that sort of thing. But look, it's a love story, really. It's a beautiful film. I know I'm a bit behind. This is 1990.
Sounds a bit romantic.
But Gorky Park was 1980s.
I think it's fine to be behind with favourite movies, you know, because they can go all the way back to when they started making movies. Really, a favourite of mine is certainly Knife in the Water, 1950s.
Right,
Polanski.
I don't think I've seen that one. Mm. I watched For Me and My Girl the other night and saw Judy Garland sing with Gene Kelly. Beautiful. I didn't watch the whole film, just that one song sort of thing. Casablanca is still my favourite. But I've never
really?
Heard that. What was it called again?
Casablanca.
No, the one that you really like.
Knife in the Water.
Who's in it?
Polanski himself and a young Italian actor. There's three actors in it, and it's essentially the same film as the film that they made with Nicole Kidman and someone else about the yachts becalmed.
Right. Oh, really?
Mm.
I'll keep my eye open because all these old films come on the old channel on Foxtel, whatever it is, 428.
I'm a bit of a fan of Polanski, I have to say. I did like The Tenant too.
Yes.
And I missed Taylor Swift. Did you go?
No, I didn't. Although I did talk to somebody who had an apartment in South Yarra who was able to actually listen to the concert and see half the lighting rig from her apartment.
Right.
Don't think I'd be too happy about that if I'd bought some swanky apartment in South Yarra and had to listen to all of that.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Bit young, John.
Yeah.
She's not our milieu.
I don't know
really?
Anything about her.
No.
There is a show coming on called Effie the Virgin Bride, the comedy theatre.
Yeah.
That'd be Effie of the Big Hair.
All I know is an extravaganza. That's all. And
it's a comedy show. Is it a theatre piece?
Music, dancing, multimedia, and audience.
You know, we know Effie, don't we? You know Effie.
The Greek Effie. Is that her?
I guess so.
Well, it's front of your crowd, and they're touring all over. So it could be fun. It wouldn't be my cup of tea.
No,
particularly with audience interaction.
You're going to go down to the
Rye
Palace.
Cathedral, the Cabaret Cathedral. Yes, well, yes, yes. Well, I think
Have to check it out first, because there could be a siege, there could be anything.
Yes. Well, due to the time-space continuum, Cliff, you actually have been to that show, but we will talk about it on another occasion.
I'll review that next week.
Yeah, great.
I look forward to that. You know,
it's complicated getting caught in a kind of time loop.
Yeah, it is, situation. Isn't it? Yeah. Do you think our listeners have any idea what we're talking about?
No.
Yes, they do. My listeners too. Both of them do.
Do they? You've told them already. Yeah. That's good.
And did any of you watch the Divorce, which was over four nights at the ABC?
No.
No, I do want to watch that.
Opera with John O'May and Marina Pryor and Lisa McGoon. You can always watch these shows back.
Yes, on iView. Yes. Was it really good?
Well, it was interesting. My favourite word.
Do you think I should watch it?
Well, you might like it, yeah. I'm not sure that I would.
Yeah.
The ABC updated their iView app on my gadget, or they invited me to, and I did so, and I hate it. I hate the new one. I really liked the old one.
I agree. I find it much more difficult to search through.
Yeah, can't navigate my way through that.
I haven't looked at it yet, but mine's there on bookmarks. I'll have to check it out. Mm. At the moment, my mouse has stopped working. I want to have a go at Arts Minister George Brandis.
Oh, good. Go on, stick it in. You know,
George Brandis is not
the Arts Minister. He's now no longer the Arts Minister,
They took about $105 million off the arts, and then they give back $40.
I know.
As a plus.
I know.
Now, you know, goodness gracious, you know all those politicians in The Age. Did you read The Age a couple of weeks ago, all the books they're reading over the holidays?
No.
Oh, I'm going to have a great time writing about that. I've got notes at home. I haven't got it yet.
I actually saved that because I wanted to go through the books and see what they were. I haven't done so.
Bill Hayden's reading Rosie Batty's
book. Yeah, that's good.
He would say that because it sounds good.
Yeah, he would too.
And there's a couple there that are really
What are you reading yourself, Cliff?
I don't read books.
Don't you?
No, I only have two reference books. I read them at night for about half an hour and then go to bed. And philosophy. They're both about 1,000 pages.
And he's a mystery
I
man,
alternate
isn't he?
Between them, but I did originally read every book in the library.
I'm reading David Walsh's book at the moment.
What's David Walsh's book called?
I can't remember the title of the book, but it's a great book.
Is that an insult, me saying I don't
know? No, it's kind of essays on himself, how he's behaved during his life and how he thinks other people should behave, more or less. Also reading the Tyrannicide Brief, which is about Charles I having his head chopped off.
Oh. What's your favourite book?
I like anything with a head chopping off in it, really.
Yeah. I used to like the murder mysteries, but the classics are good.
I'm finding it so busy at the moment, I can't really get my head stuck into a really big one, but I'm reading a short book of Peter Carey's at the moment, 30 Days in Sydney, which I'm loving.
Yeah, he's great, Peter Carey.
Well, I think I'll end up in my blog when I have a talk about it.
Well, I'll read that over summer as well.
I'll end up with, I recommend they all read Dostoevsky's The Idiot.
Yeah.
They might learn something.
Oh, funnily enough, that's actually must have been on the reading list of my son this year because it's on his desk.
It's a hard one to read.
Is it? Because I was nearly picked it up. I thought, should I have a go at that one again?
He's a dreamy type, I tell you. You've got to really be strong to keep going.
It's a great title, The Idiot.
It's a brilliant title.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I also like Robert Hughes's book on fishing, which is called A Jerk on Each End.
Yeah. What a wonderful title.
I'm a great fan of Robert Hughes. So what else have we got? Nothing. Oh, the Greens did initiate, by the way, a Senate inquiry into the arts.
Yes.
Thing. That'll go nowhere, as we all know. that'll be similar to an inquiry into the police force and all the rest of the rubbish that they saw before Christmas.
It's a very slow train wreck, I think. It's just going to take some time to see what the damage is, and it's going to be profound, and I just don't know how and when it will be resolved. I can't imagine it's going to be resolved very quickly, though.
It sounds good, though, if they have a Senate inquiry.
Well, it sounds good, yeah. But
The Ladies in Black, music and lyrics by Tim Finn, from the book by Carolyn Burns, directed by the great Simon Phillips. That might be good, you know.
What's it called? The
Ladies in Black.
The Ladies in Black.
Yeah, I forget who's in it, but all the usual suspects.
Is that a stage show?
That'll be the MTC.
That's okay.
Right. I don't think I've got anything else to say, really, other than I apologise, really, for not saying Merry Christmas. I will say Happy New Year to everybody, though.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because we are in the new year. It's hard to believe it's 2016.
It is.
Well, it's lovely to have you on board, Cliff. What are you going to do for the rest of the day, do you think?
Well, all this lovely weather, I suppose I'll go home and relax and do nothing again and hit the RSL at about 4:30, something like that, a couple of beers, meditate on whether or not I can make it to March the 22nd, which is the date I turn 80.
It's a day we're going to lose you. Looking forward to that.
My wife Amanda and I, Cliff, went down to the Rye RSL on a Sunday afternoon looking for you.
Did
you? Yeah, and I went to the front counter and I said, I'm looking for Cliff Allen. And the guy behind the counter said, so am I.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be that fella. He's always cracking jokes. But I generally don't get over there till 4:30. I'm sure I'm well known there.
Well, we've got one of your favourite songs for you this week. I don't know whether you can hear it in the background already.
No, I can't. I don't have any earphones on.
Mm. Well, tell us what it is.
Come Back Again?
Yeah, it is.
Well, isn't that cool?
Yeah, it is.
That's good enough.
Fabulous.
Sorry, I'm a bit sleepy today, listeners.
Busy summer.
Good, you know, Christmas.
Well, you're going to have a couple of weeks off now and you'll come back full of vim and vigour at the end of January, hopefully.
Well, 2.5 hours on Christmas Day with all the family.
Yeah, that knocks it out of you, doesn't it?
Energises me no end. I finish up a wreck.
Yeah. See you soon, Cliff.
Bye. Bye, John.
See you, Cliff. Enjoy your summer.
Bye, ladies.
Well, everybody, we have finished our show again. We've got no time for Daddy Cool. No more time for Daddy Cool, anyway. There are lots of things for you to go out and see over the summer. 3 new exhibitions at McClelland Sculpture Park and Gallery. Did you get that, John?
What do you mean, did I get that?
I got it round the right way.
Oh, well done.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't thinking about that at all.
No.
Limbo's on. If you haven't seen it, make sure you do.
It's really, really great.
Razzle Dazzle's on too.
Yeah, it is.
We're spoiled for it.
We are. There's lots of theatre down here this year. It's really brilliant. Creatures of a Wire World, sculptures by Tom Rippon. They're on at Stillwater at Crittenden's until February. So plenty of time to get down there and have a gorgeous lunch and wander through the fluoro animals.
And, if it's a red hot day and you don't want to go to the beach, you can go to the air-conditioned NGV and see Ai Weiwei and Andy Warhol.
Yeah, which is really sensational.
And have a $12 bagel.
Yep. The Summer Music Festival is on for another week. If you go onto their website, peninsulafestival.com.au, you might be able to see what else is on and get yourself some tickets if it isn't already sold out. The 44th Mornington Art Show opens on January the 21st, so keep that in your diaries. And the big opening gala night is on the Thursday the 21st. Yeah, very, very, very big. Now, with that, actually, we have some free tickets that John Renouden from that show gave us. And if you would like to go along to their big opening night on Thursday the 21st of January, like our Facebook page and send me a message saying as much, and I will get you some tickets for it.
No good given to me. I'm not allowed back in there.
Oh. What?
Oh. I'm not saying any more than that.
Okay, fair enough. The Merrick's General Store Art Gallery has Seely Brandt's photography of Mongolia and more. And if you've just tuned in, you've missed Arts About once again. You can catch up on the show with a podcast, which should appear on the station website tomorrow, or hear us repeated on air and streaming Wednesdays at 12 after Secrets to Health with Angela Jacobson. Remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art,
but we know what we like.
What we like.
And Brody confesses he does too.
Ah.
Thanks, Brody.